Hey guys, well, we are super excited to announce that we're on CastBox now.
CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, and it does have all your favorite podcasts, okay?
Okay, you can still listen to Dumb Gay Politics wherever you get your podcasts, but we just want you to try CastBox.
And we're super excited that we're finally on CastBox because we think it's the best. So try it.
Uh-huh, it's all shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America has gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that. Cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. It's all shit. It's all shit. I mean, are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanus. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dumb Gay Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we recap the week in politics like we're recapping the week in reality TV.
But this is a very special episode with a very special celebrita. These fucking Sarah Decker crystals have already gotten Scrunchie 19 off to a great start. Because one of our main intentions for 2019 that we put into Devin's gratitude jar was to book important guests on this podcast. So tell them why, Meow Meow.
Why we want to book important guests. Well, basically, the more influential guests we have on the podcast this year, the more likely it will be that we can get presidential candidates on the podcast in 2020. And that is what we want.
Yep.
We want to talk to all the people running because we want to be part of the conversation that gets Trump out of there once and for all.
So this podcast started the month he was elected and it will probably end, quite frankly, the month he gets voted out. We seriously doubt that the 14 listeners will still even care about Dumb Gay Politics when we finally have someone normal in the White House again. Mm-hmm. And if 2020 is going to be our last hurrah, then we want to make the motherfucker count.
That's right.
And that starts right now on this episode with our first Kiki of Scrunchie 19. And that is with, drumroll, Tom Arnold.
Yes. Yes. I know. Random, you might say. You might not have thought of it.
He is very political now.
He's extremely political. He is actively working to expose Trump in every way.
He got into a physical altercation that's like in the police are involved now. The law is involved.
And now it's
with
infamous.
Mark Burnett, all because of being involved in politics with Trump.
Now, I didn't realize what a fucking scumbag Mark Burnett is. And now that it's been revealed, and I won't give it all away, but now that it's been revealed through
by Tom
Arnold. Hi, Tom. That I'm beside myself. I'm beside myself with how much I hate Mark Burnett.
So when you listen to the interview, just know that when anytime Mark Burnett comes up, Julie, once Tom explains the deal with Mark Burnett, Julie now thinks Mark Burnett is a spy.
I think he's a spy. I think he's a mercenary. I think he's an assassin. I think that he's one of those people that doesn't have a conscience. I think he's a paid, like a Killing Eve, like a killer. I think he's a killer. And when and I'll tell you this, that I think that I don't want to give it away, but I mean, can I or no?
No, okay. You cannot.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll just say this.
Okay.
Anything that Tom Arnold brings up, and if you think, and I'm just going to say it, and it is an allegation. He can come sue me. I don't give a fuck. But I believe that when you hear the story about what Tom Arnold says, just know that I think that Mark Burnett did it with his own hands.
Okay. A note about Tom Arnold. The man is a joy. Ugh. He's hilarious.
Yep.
He's fun.
He's fun. He's friendly. He's open. He was warm.
Right.
He was
all of the above.
Yeah.
Now, he talks pretty much the entire time. Stream of consciousness. Definitely, he has something to say. He's not just meandering around.
Nope.
But it can take a second to get used to the style. It did take us a second because we watch his show.
Yeah.
We're used to Tom Arnold. We're fans of Tom Arnold. Mm-hmm. So we weren't like, whoa, I haven't seen Tom Arnold since Roseanne. It's like, no, we've seen the motherfucker like literally 3 days ago. Like we're on Tom Arnold.
Right.
So right. If you're not, just get, you know, don't, you know, just know that he's a unique being.
He is a unique being. He is.
And so try to stick with it. It's about a 45-minute interview and just try and listen. And even if you're just doing whatever you're doing and you're popping in and out, I mean, if you try and meander it, I'm sure Meow Meow within the course of the 45 minutes ended up like staring at like specks of dirt on the wall at one point and was like, when did that dirt get there? And then she missed a whole important thing. If you stop listening for even 10 seconds, you've now missed.
Yeah, because he'll make a point when you don't even realize it's being made.
Right. And it's a lot of information.
A lot of information.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of important information. He's also passionate. He's angry. He's loving.
Hilarious.
He really is one of the most unique people we've ever met.
Yeah.
I mean, and I feel a fondness.
Yeah. It was joy. And we love him.
Yeah. I really, really ended up feeling like a fond, warm feeling.
So. And he's not just talking politics. He tells really personal stories about addiction and about sexual abuse as a child and of other. And he's really sensitive.
Yeah.
And
we couldn't even play the whole interview. It was so long.
Yeah.
We had to cut some of it out just because it was just so long. We just talked about so many different things. So.
And he revealed some things about his personal life that haven't been released in the press yet. So. We cut some of that, even though we could have been the scoop of the century. but we already knew that anyways, just prior to the interview. So I'm just saying, give it a chance and keep an open mind and get ready to fall in love if you do, because he's super fun. And
you're going to be addicted and then you're going to go right and watch a show. I mean, I think, you know what I mean? You're going to be like, what? And then what? And then, oh, and then need to have more.
Yes.
You know?
Just like we did.
Yeah.
He has an addictive personality, and his personality is addictive.
That's right.
We were having a live show in New Orleans.
It's coming up. Can you believe it? January 19th, Brandy's birthday. Please get your tickets now. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be so exciting. We've got Greer, right?
Yep. Greer Yarborough singing the opening song,
which is very exciting.
And Ariel Androgyny is doing Sweet Transvestite. And Greg Guarino is doing... Gay Guys and Their Feelings. Mm-hmm. That's January 19th. It's less than a week away. You guys go to New Orleans for our live show. Go to julianbrandy.com for more information on that. So one of our Patreon friends, Michelle Lundquist, super boo. We love her. She got us the glitter champagne, right? Meow meow.
That's right.
Remember it?
I remember. I look at it every day.
Yeah, we have it on your
gorgeous
on your bar cart.
Uh-huh.
It's covered in glitter. It's One Hope. It's like goes to, like, I don't know, fucking gay rights or something. Where does it go to?
Whatever.
It
like does, glitter rights, yeah, you know
it,
what I mean?
It goes,
like
it's
glitter.
A gay...
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
The money proceeds go to some gay organization.
Yeah, so she got us the sham bong.
Uh-huh.
So we can bong glasses of champagne, like a beer bong.
Uh-huh.
But we're not going to open that bottle of champagne, Michelle. So I guess we'll go in, down and get some fucking... you know, Moet on that ass.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not opening the One Hope because the glitter champagne stays
no,
intact.
No, we're not. That's right.
So the card is so beautiful. It's like whimsical. It's a night sky with a stick figure on top of a ladder reaching for a star that's glowing in the moonlit sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, "You touch more lives than you realize, celebrating you and all the special ways you make a difference." So sweet. And she says, "Hi, Julie and Brandy. How's this card for being all into your feelings?" Really, really sweet. And we still are in our feelings. We're just eking slowly out every day, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
She says some stuff in the card and then she says, "Brandy, your one-liners crack me up every time. The Halloween Patreon was a 10. I will not, however, be listening to your ASMR episode as I may kill myself." And we're going to try and record that tonight, Michelle, just so you know. "Love the industry talk. All I can talk about is my heroin-addicted clients and bankruptcy cases. So your lives are far more interesting. Love you both. Patreon is the best, especially for all the great content you provide. Please consider a trip to the Midwest, Chicago, Ann Arbor, Detroit, Columbus. I'd go in a second. Have a super rich 2019. Love, Michelle Lundquist."
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle. We are going to try and plan something in that area for sure. In all areas.
Mm-hmm.
But
in all areas is right. You know, One step at a time. Thank you, Michelle. And for those of you who have not yet joined Patreon, you got to get on right now because it's very special and it's only for a very select group who are subscribers.
That's right.
All you need to do is you go onto patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics and you sign up and it's just $1 a week. And for that, you get one whole extra hour of a podcast where we basically talk about everything but politics. So we just pretty much shoot the shit about whatever.
That's right. Okay, girls and burrs, now it's time for Off Limits with Tom Arnold.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Okay.
Let's have a kiki.
Motherfucker.
I'm going to let you have it.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Die, turn, work.
Let's have a kiki.
Honey.
This segment is called Off Limits, and it's when we talk to influencers and activists about a subject that's usually off limits, politics. This is our first Off Limits interview of 2019, and I don't know if it's the crystals we bought on New Year's Eve or what, but the universe delivered us one hell of a motherfucking guest.
Maybe it was all the drugs we did.
Probably.
This guy started making America laugh in the 80s, and he hasn't stopped since. He's a major fucking movie star, comedian, and pop culture icon. He's one of the most famous bro dudes of all time. He literally, get this, invented the celebrity bromance, and his bevy of pervy Me Too-er friends is unfucking rivaled.
In the last decade, he's been on every single TV show, including the classic Celebrity Ghost Stories. He hosted the Best Damn Sports Show, and he's clocked in some legendary appearances on Howard Stern. This year, he created and starred in his own docuseries on Vice called The Hunt for the Trump Tapes. Because like every other comedian with a brain in their head, he's become absolutely obsessed with taking down Trump. Why? Because good comedians are obsessed with justice.
The Hunt for the Trump Tapes was riveting and solidified our guest as the skinnier, hotter, and most importantly, funnier Michael Moore. And we weren't above exploiting his hatred for Trump to get him here. We are beyond fucking honored that he agreed to be on our dumbass podcast. And not just because he has a tattoo of Roseanne on his chest. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest, the myth, the man, the legend, who beat the shit out of Mark Burnett.
Yes, I did.
Tom Arnold.
Yes, hey, Tom.
Guys, it's a huge honor. It's a huge honor. Is my mic up too high? I want to see your faces.
I know. Is that inappropriate?
Here you go. You look like a picture of Johnny Knoxville and Rachel
Maddow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, yeah.
No one has ever told. Listen, nobody has ever told me. By the way, I tried to dress like you today.
Oh my God, you look amazing.
Thank you. So do you.
I was like, oh my God, do I have to dress up for this?
No, I
and
said
obviously not.
I said we're going to be twinsies.
Oh,
and
I'm so happy.
He's got to
get
look amazing. Shirt, this shirt for you if you,
you
want.
Guys, I wish I had as much hair as you.
You do.
That's
you
how
just
I
gotta
that's
grow
how
it out.
I imagine my hair looks. Don't tell me.
Look, you're looking in a mirror.
My kid. Oh my God, wait. How many hair transplants have you had?
7.
Okay. Did you have scalp reduction? See, that's
no.
What Trump, you know, I've known Trump 30 years.
Go good.
By the way,
thank
I'm
God.
Not political. That's the thing. People think I'm political. No. It's just because of this situation. And the first time I've known somebody for 30 years who became president that is so unqualified, and it scares me. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And by the way, something Trump and I used to talk about, he got a scalp reduction. Now, you get hair transplants, and I've had it several.
And
that's
your hair
where
you, looks
oh,
good.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Okay.
You
look
well, it's
like
fine.
Full.
It's fine.
Full.
It looks natural.
It's
it looks
tall.
Like I'm just losing my hair a little bit. I didn't want to be my dad. You know, my dad, God bless him, he was a single father with 3 little kids. But that part I do. But wait a minute. But I respect my dad, but he had a comb over till, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to have that. I'm going to get some hair transplants. And that's when you take hair from the back of your head. It's your own hair. And they put it on the top. Now, at one point during the probably 19, it was when I was married to Roseanne, they said, hey, get a scalp reduction because you got a lot of bald stuff. Then we won't have to take the hair up and they'll cut a big chunk of your scalp off. And then they'll just sew it. It'll be like a mini facelift, too. And that's they don't even do it anymore because it's barbaric.
So you're basically making a hole and then putting the pieces
like
together
yabba,
up like this?
Yes.
Like a bag?
Yeah,
like you're pulling up a bag.
Like a yarmulke.
Okay.
But it's so painful. And it just it's just a very unfortunate thing. And your face swells up. And Donald Trump... He would say he got one of those, by the way.
That's when he raped Ivanka.
Exactly.
Ivana.
And he would share the
Ivanka,
and he raped everybody. He raped them all, whole
let's
family.
Let's talk about who he's raped.
He raped Tiffany. He raped Tiffany.
But he was sharing with me, oh, fuck, did you get that? You had that, too. And I go, yes. He goes, you're the only person I know that had that. It was so painful. And then he would always talk about that. That's the most pain I've ever been in, and how long how you had to
it
be fucked
rape.
Up on pain pills.
Rape.
Is that why we read that that's why he raped Ivana, because she told him to get that, and then he got so pissed, and then he beat her up, and he raped
her. Well, he was out of his mind. He said, I was out of my mind. I'm sure that's why. He
Who
gets
did you
pissed
rape
all
when you
the
got
time. Why couldn't get a boner when I was on those fucking pain pills? Are you kidding me? You're loopy. That's the thing about drugs. Some guys get meth, they get boner. Like, on any drug, I could. That's it. It's all no sex.
Oh,
I know.
Just
well,
like
I don't
end.
Get that. Yeah, right. You're not. It's like I'm doing drugs now. I'm not.
But
trying
he was
to...
a maniac. Oh, and the rage and rape and all that shit and controlling women. And so I was like, oh my god, this guy is going to be. No, he can't be the president. Plus, he's a racist, and also he's incompetent. Like everybody that worked with him on The Apprentice, they asked me. Mark Burnett would ask me to do The Apprentice. He would say, and I couldn't figure out what I get. The regular Apprentice, like you could work for the. Yeah, that's the thing. But the Celebrity Apprentice, like, you got to be so fucked to do that show. And then what's the end game?
Yeah.
The end game is exposure. Right. You're thirsty.
By the way,
you're trying to get a show.
Doing it every time because they would say it's $75,000 for everybody. Favor Nations, they call
it. Okay, thank you.
But we pay you for Tom Arnold because it's you. We're going to give you $250,000 more because we'll have you write a script for NBC. It was always a special deal. And, you know, I considered I'd say, and, you know, I showed the guy from New Yorker, who just came out with this great piece, Patrick Keefe. Read it. It's about Mark Burnett. It's in the New Yorker.
Yes.
He's an investigative reporter, and you really understand who Mark Burnett is, because Mark Burnett is not only Trump's best friend, he created Donald Trump through The Apprentice, and now he still is covering up for him. Like, he's this fake religious.
Yeah, why do you think we're slightly obsessed with Mark Burnett because he's religious and fit.
No,
or is he fake religious
fake.
Or
no,
is it
fake
so
religious.
It's completely fake.
He is he's like that talented Mr. Ripley. You know, whoever he's around, he becomes him. He has no soul. He now his Selma Blair almost said, what's his wife's name? Touched by an angel.
Roma Downey.
Now I believe I have honest to God never heard
Roma Downey, you guys.
I have never heard a bad word about Roma Downey. But if you read this piece, it's scary who Mark Burnett is.
Roma Downey is the Mike Pence.
Right.
Yes.
That's exactly
sorry.
Who she is.
You're a complicit
bitch. But Mark Burnett came to this country, as Trump would say, as an illegal alien. He forged his papers. He stayed too long. He worked under the table. Here's the truth. Mark Burnett was on his way, because he was a UK special forces guy. He was on his way to Central America to kill people in Central America. He had an assignment in the military,
what?
So like a mercenary. And he stopped at the border and said to his mom, this is too dangerous. He became a manny in Malibu.
I've been a manny.
I would too.
I've been a manny.
And then he worked under the table. So Mark Burnett is Donald Trump, still one of his best buddies. He should be sent back to the UK, according to Donald Trump, and get in line, because he faked his papers. He worked under the table. He's worth $600 million. He is a phony and a fraud. But each wife, he married a woman for a green card for 1 year. Then he did all he becomes whoever he's with.
He should have to go to Pedophile Island with Jeffrey Epstein.
Because he covered up for all this stuff. And then so he meets this Roma Downey, who is, I believe, a Christian. Now he convinces her to lie and cover up for him. He's going to abandon her. I'll tell you the best Mark Burnett story. A buddy, he says, I want a dog. I want that dog. So this guy is one of his best buddies. He takes all the still pictures out of all his shows. And he's a dog trainer. He trains this dog, takes him out to Mark Burnett. Mark Burnett says, I love this dog. And he goes away and he's filming this show, Echo Challenge, in Vancouver. And the guy that goes out to Malibu to visit Mark Burnett and to visit the dog, like 6 weeks later, and see how the dog is doing. And Mark Burnett, and he said, talk a little bit. He says, where's the dog? He goes, oh, I had to put him to sleep. He says, oh, my God, what happened? He said, oh, nothing. I just wasn't around enough to keep my eye on him. So he killed this dog. This is a fact. He killed
Julie's
him.
Horrified.
Hold on.
You can't tell a lie.
Do you have a bat in here?
No, I'm
kidding. Go.
So that's why, that's who he is. So tell me what kind of a
oh my
soul.
God.
So that's why I'm on it with him.
Yes.
He's not only covering up for Trump. He's complicit in all this stuff. He's tried to create more Trumps around the world. He tried to choke me out at the fucking party.
Yeah, but
thinking that would be okay. And so
you're like, we're not at the Ramrod. Yeah. Don't choke me out, sir.
And
please.
So that's why I'm suing him next week.
Oh,
him
good.
And
sweet.
His unfortunate wife tweets a picture of a fake bruise at that party. Like, Tom Arnold is trying to attack both of us, which is insane.
Is he strong?
Well, he thought he did have the, you know, the esophagus. No, all the way around. And he caught me. I was walking up the stairs. Like, I saw him standing at the top of the stairs, like, He-Man tough, like, looking down. I was like, okay, this is like fucking grade school. This guy thinks he's going to block me from the top of the stairs. I'm like, you know, what are the odds, A, that it would be Mark Burnett there? I just texted Ronan Farrow, by the way, as I'm walking into the party. And I
need Ronan Farrow's number when you go. Well,
you know, there had been a crappy article in New York Magazine about his family, or written by his stepmother. Just, oh, shit. You know, they did a shitty thing to him. I'm trying to be funny. I go, I'm going to this party with, and maybe I'll see Mark Burnett as a complete joke. You know, maybe I'll get those tapes, the Trump tapes. I'm joking with him, and because I said I was going to send him this tape. I have a tape of Trump in Trump Tower, by the way, during an apprentice day of shooting in 2012. I said I'm going to send it, and I was joking, trying to cheer him up, trying to be funny, and I was with a guy. Coincidentally, the guy I went to the party with, which I wasn't going to that party. I'm like a loser. Nobody wants me at that big Hollywood party. It's the biggest party of the year. At my own network, Viceland, my show. The president of Viceland said a thing. They fucking hated me. The people I did the show for, because they're friends with Mark Burnett, the people there. They don't want to be going after these people. They're genuinely, that's why Trump gets away with it. There's so much money and so many connections. I saw an email from the president of Viceland, Guy Slattery, that said, hey, make sure Tom Arnold doesn't go to any Emmy parties, because we don't want to poke the bear. We have other shows. People hate him. Like he, so I'm like, I'm not going to go. But then my friend Brian Fogel calls me that afternoon and says, hey, are you going to this big Katzenberg night before party? I go, no, I'm not. He goes, why don't you go with me? Brian Fogel won an Oscar last year for the best documentary, this documentary called Icarus about Russian doping scandal. He's a friend of mine. I said, well, I'll go with you. My self-esteem is zero, by the way. My show is wrapped, by the way. This isn't about shooting my reality show.
We watched the whole thing.
Oh,
you
love
it.
By the way, it's amazing. But I walk in there with this guy. He has no idea who Mark Burnett is. And what are the odds? We're the last people to get to the party, by the way. At the top of the stairs to get into the party, I see Mark Burnett. I'm like, oh, my God. Ugh. He sees me, and he's talking to people with him, the guy from Survivor, and a couple guys. He looks down at me, and he's like, that's Tom Arnold walking up here. And I see him. He's got his chest out, and he's drunk, and he's like, I'm going to stop him from walking to the party. Like in grade school, the bullies. I'm like, first of all, nobody wants me at this party. Mark Burnett's a huge guy. He's got six huge shows. He's the most powerful guy in television. And now he's going to block me from coming to this fucking party. Like, what more? And I see him. He literally chest out, like, I'm going to. And he's got open chest and a pink shirt and Jesus gold chain. And I'm like, you know.
Jesus.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to deal with this. So I start walking up the stairs, and I'm going to walk around him. And before I get to the top stair, he puts his around my esophagus like some kind of death grip for the UK Special Forces. He's in the UK Special Forces, which is not like the real Special Forces because it's UK, but it's kind of.
It's the kind that where Manny's go.
Listen, it did knock me back. I lost my balance a little bit. And I kind of slipped and I grabbed his belt loop and his friends immediately went, oh my God, you're choking. Like his friends knew. This is insane. And I said, hey, fucker, you better let me get my balance so we can fight fair. And I pulled myself up to the front, and I got a little air between us. And that's when I just started going, ripping his picture off his fucking DJ. And I just opened up on him a few. Now, a lot of people at the party just saw me going psycho on Mark Burnett, right?
His pink shirt.
So they're like,
pink Jesus
fucking
shirt.
Just his. And his face was, he was in shock. Now, he was in shock because he lost his shit. Yeah. Or I was kicking
his
ass. Or he just, I think that people around Trump think he's a president. I could do whatever I fucking want. I'm going to bully this guy and show off. And then I'm like, the fuck if you are.
Yeah.
No, I'm drawing the fucking line right here. Now, his wife was over talking to Jenna Fisher. She was on the show called The Office, one of the nicest people you would ever meet. And his wife sees this, and Jenna Fisher is like, oh, my God, Mark Burnett, my husband's in a fight. I'm going to go over and help him. And Jenna Fisher goes to call 911 because she sees Mark Burnett choking me. She doesn't know if we've been. So then she tweets a picture of a bruise on her hand saying, Tom Arnold attacked us both. Like, me attacking a woman? That's all I need, anybody needs with the Me Too stuff. So according to her, I've attacked the most famous Christian woman in the world and the CEO of MGM Television at a party. Now, if I had done that, would I have not been asked to leave the party?
Yeah.
I was the last person to me, Brian, over last person left that party. So that's insane. So my lawyer wakes up and says, you got to get the cops down there and file a report, which I, which I did. First of all, I was like, don't let this. He was all ripped up. I go, don't let him fucking leave. That guy attacked me. I'm going to file. And he went to do a wardrobe change or something. And but here's the thing, that he is covering up something so dark that he feels that he needs to do this. And then they make mistakes like that, the Trump people. And then the MGM people, this is a big corporation, they say, oh, he's stalking Mark Burnett, which is a lie. Then I go on Megyn Kelly, and she and I get into it. And she overcompensates. And then she gets fired. Right. You know, and then people like Roseanne, who had the number one show, who is completely opposite of me, she's covering for Trump. And then she loses her job. These people, one at a time. And Mark Burnett's next. I'm telling you, because he's complicit. He is hiding stuff that would have, you know, it's okay that Donald Trump is cruel. It's okay he's racist, because so is Mark Burnett. And I'm telling you, he had a 15 years, Mark Burnett, covered up him sexually harassing women and abusing people and being a racist. And that's not okay.
No.
Because he has shows on the air right now. And when you watch The Voice, and that's all fun and games, that's making Mark Burnett millions and millions of dollars as his other shows. And if we're Hollywood and we have any fucking balls, we say no.
Don't watch The Voice.
That's right. Or
Our show got canceled. Fuck The Voice.
Yeah. And he makes money on the inauguration, and he says, oh, I'm not political. I can't do anything. Well, you're making money on people's pain. And right now, and you don't say anything to the guy you talk to every week, that's bullshit.
How long in your show, you say in the beginning, which we love the intro, because when you say do it again without the AC, you guys need to watch the Vice show
for sure.
It's called
crabby.
The Hunt for the Trump Tapes. You say he's the same kind of old school dumbass that I am.
Yes.
Donald Trump, you've known him for 30 years. Were you friends or were you just acquaintances?
You know what? We were the first thing we did together was a Roseanne HBO special in 1988, maybe, or say we used Trump Casino, Trump Tower, Trump Castle. And I remember, you know, he was Donald Trump, you know, and, you know, he's around New York and he was that guy. I would never call him, you know, he's always nice. I remember when we were getting ready to film there, and I was figuring out how we're going to do it. And he said, you know, my friend has these $1 million cars, and he'll let him use it free. And so he had a Dusseldorf to bring Roseanne out on the stage. and he's like, I'll drive it. So then I realized, oh my God, he's in the special. He drives it out, brings those out. And I thought, that's funny, you know, and that's funny. And I remember it was a time he was breaking up with Ivanka, and he's cheating with Marta. But he's that guy. It's okay. And I remember afterwards, HBO had trouble getting it because he never signed the deals, and you had to kind of go in there, especially with the union guys. Because HBO, the company's like legit. Like, they weren't used to dealing with the deals, but it was Donald Trump. It's fine. And so then he would come on my sports show. Now, when I look back at the sports show, which I've put up clips, now it's so weird because he sits down and there's 14-year-old girls in the front row. There's four of them, and he goes, look at that. Like, it's so weird. And the way he talks to the black guys, they go, who'd be the best of us on The Apprentice? He goes, you, because you're black, because you have every event. Like, it's weird now. But then, you know, and I when he came on the show, I'd always be, he'd go, I'm on the show because of Tom Arnold out of loyalty. And it made me feel good. And I'm one of those guys that I have to look at myself and my behavior. So I would go to the Playboy Mansion with him.
Classic bromance.
Well, I would go with him to visit his girlfriend. So I would say, I'd go to the Playboy Mansion with Donald Trump, but I wasn't the creepy guy. But yet I was a creepy guy because I went to the Playboy Mansion with my bud, knowing he was married, to visit his girlfriend. So I need to own that. But when he started the birther shit, that was the line.
Well, that was when you started getting.
Well, no, that's what I called Mark Burnett and said, wait a minute, the star of your show is on TV saying Barack Obama wasn't born here. How fucking racist is that? How are you? What are you doing about that? And that's when things got weird between all. And you can see my emails from 2010. Then it started getting weird. And then that was the line. And then I know people that were with him in Russia because then I worked in Russia and I stayed in the same hotel. And there's a lot of overlap. And
were you scared that you were going to get like a poisonous doorknob from
Russia?
No,
I wasn't. Here's the thing. You can't. What they do is they threaten your life. They threaten your credibility, which I have done. And they threaten to sue you and ruin you financially, which I have no money. So that's what everybody, the executive producer of The Apprentice came out right after the Access Hollywood tape, went away and said, well, I was on year one and two, and he said the N-word, he did this other stuff, and then he went away after one day because he got so many death threats, Bill Pruitt. And then I picked up the ball. I'm like, oh, no, I have seen this. And I said, I'm not going to let these fucking people threaten me. Let them threaten me because I still get trolls. You see how the just hammering me. You did this. They say, you beat Rosette. That's a lie. They say, you are on cocaine right now. That is a lie. I am sober. They say this. They have these troll things. They just keep hammering me. That
Roseanne is a total racist, right?
What's that?
Is Roseanne a total racist or what?
She wasn't when I was there. Something has happened with her. There's an anxiety in this country. I have no idea what happened with her. The truth is, I've talked to her for 30 seconds in the last 24 and a half years. That was at her roast, which she asked me to do, which I thought we had 30 seconds backstage. I've talked to my stepkids in the meantime. When the show got announced, the Roseanne show, I had my show, and I thought they said she's a Trump supporter. And I was like, well, that'll be fun. And I actually shot a stand-up special, where I was very nice about, and that was in December of last year. I had no idea what kind of a Trump supporter she was, but I thought, and I'm always very nice about the past, and I'm grateful. And if you look back at the shit that went down when we got divorced, she called up the president of every network and said, if you work with him, you'll never work with me. So when we talk about this Me Too stuff, she, you know, and she was the biggest star.
Yeah.
Going, and I was trying to make it. If I hadn't had the movie True Lies come out after the Roseanne show, I probably wouldn't have been able to work again. But whatever. But that, so she is a scornful woman, but whatever.
Yeah, Julie goes, he dodged a bullet about you. I said, well, I think he got shot with it. I think he got the bullet in the chest.
So I did her roast, and it was nice. And I like to leave things nice, and that's what you do. So I had no idea she was so into it. So I started looking at her social media as the show was getting ready to come back on. And I'm like, holy hell, she's one of these conspiracy people that's in with these, you know, actual Nazis. And she is unable to say anything about Donald Trump. So when she had her multiple personality disorder, it was difficult, but she had supported me, and it was real.
And not jokingly,
she had 27 different personalities. Two of them like me. That is a fact. That is, so...
Well, and her racist personality is who's doing her Twitter.
Well, that's
the racist.
The racist, though, it's insane.
Yeah.
There's something, you can't be 100% black or white. There's a gray area. There's no gray area with these Trump people.
Yeah.
It's 100%. I see it with them, the way they're having. They don't see, you know, and he plays into it. He's like, that's my people, the conspiracy people, the QAnon. So she is gone. And she needed to be off that show.
Yep.
Because she is a full on racist. There is no apology. There's
this, I thought it was
bullshit.
Stupid the show came back. Yeah. I was like, yes. That was all there. The evidence was there.
Yeah, the ABC should have seen it.
Is there any other Republicans you want to talk shit about? We only have like 14
They're
listeners.
All scumbags. They're
like
all
famous
complicit
ones.
Scumbags.
Like is Schwarzenegger
They're
a Trump
pussy.
Supporter?
Scott, yeah, no, he's not a Trump supporter. He's a great man. He's a great Republican. I love we need conservatives. We need liberals. We need conservatives. Socially liberal, of course, everybody should be fucking socially liberal. They can't. Conservatives counted on us to be socially liberal so they can be conservative so they can budget this fucking world so that idiot yahoo just socially liberals. So everybody should be socially liberal, but we should live within our means. And that's why we counted on each other when we were fucking reasonable. But then this Trump, no, Schwarzenegger fucking hates Trump.
Oh, okay, good.
He's a monster. He's an idiot. But we also need somebody to get the budget to fix the infrastructure, to put our power lines underground like it should be in California, so we don't have the goddamn forest fires.
Yes.
You know, it's just somebody to be reasonable. So Schwarzenegger can't stand
it. What about
it.
Charlie Sheen? Do you know anything?
What the fuck is the Charlie Sheen?
He's a Republican.
He's a fucking crack
exactly.
addict. And that's what he should work on. By the way, I love Charlie Sheen. And I know he's been sober for long periods. I don't know what he's doing today. Fucking
we'll do anything
heart of
to
gold,
do crack with
he,
him.
God
anything.
Damn it. I pray for Charlie Sheen. Yeah. He's my neighbor for many years. He's got a heart of gold. That's what he needs to work on. And
we want to party with him real bad. We don't care if we lose all our teeth. We don't
care.
Don't care if he sends us over the Malibu edge on like one of his cars that goes over the cliff.
Guys, let me tell you something. That's what we lived in Mulholland Estates is what you're talking about. There's a lot of cliffs there.
Yeah.
You know,
he sent 20 cars over the side of that just by accident or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of cars go over there. Let me just say this. I want the best Charlie Sheen. You know, Charlie Sheen has kids. you know, and people that are addicts and you know, when you're an addict, it's not just the chemicals you got to deal with. There's a lot of things you got to deal with. You got to deal with the drugs and alcohol, and to really get clean and sober, at least in my experience, you know, trauma therapy has helped. I have to work on all cylinders.
Are you in DBT therapy?
Like, what's that?
DBT trauma therapy?
What's DBT?
It's a good trauma therapy.
What does DBT stand for?
Dialectical Behavioral Therapy.
Well, I mean, you know, the Peter Levine method is what I like. You know, Peter Levine, I'm a huge fan of his.
Write that down.
That certainly goes. The trauma therapy certainly.
Take a note of
that. When you have children, you know, there was a pedophile in my old neighborhood growing up, and my mom was a crazy alcoholic, and God bless her. She would drop, and alcoholics are not only alcoholics, but they're careless. So they do stuff like drop you off at the neighbor's house.
Right.
He's a guy, they don't pay as much attention, and he ends up being a pedophile. And then when you get sober when you're 30 years old and things get clear, and you realize, oh, that's really what went down, and that's something I need to deal with. And what I did in my life, and you can Google this, is I had figured out where that guy was. Now, because my fear was I'm going to be back at Walmart in Ottumwa, and that guy's going to see me go, see that famous guy? I fucked him.
So I'm like, oh no,
I'm going to find that motherfucker, right? So I researched, and by now the guy's a big religious leader. He's got a big business. So my brother, my gay brother Chris, I always say that's what the shows, he's solid gold with me. He's the smart one of the family. We find the guy. He's in Des Moines now. He's moved. He's got a big business, and I work with my therapist, so I've been in a lot of fights. I've been in fights before. I don't want to say, but they were afraid that I would get it hurt. You don't want to beat this guy the fuck out of this guy, and then you end up hurt. He ends up hurting you again.
Right.
He already hurt you as a kid, so I practice with my therapist what to say in the speech. I want to give him back the pain and shame. Work so when I confront him, it doesn't get violent again.
You don't want to go Mark Burnett on his ass.
Yeah, well, Mark Burnett did it first. I want to be very clear. He attacked me first, and then I defended myself in the most appropriate way possible.
I hope these tapes make it into the hearing.
Yeah. Well, it will be. I'm going to sue him. First of all, I'm going to sue him, and here's the deal. Then I'm going to give him. It's going to be for millions of dollars. It's going to be next week, and then I'm going to give him 24 hours. I'm going to say I want access to all those tapes, which they confirmed in that article exist. Thousands of hours of tapes. I want access to everything. No more bullshit.
Good.
And if you do that, I'll walk away with no money. Okay. Anyway, but so practice this, and I'm kind of figuring out what I'm going to go to get this guy. And then I find out my brother, he's about to adopt his fourth son. He only adopts boys. So I'm like, holy shit, well, let's go. It's go time. So I fly to Iowa, go in there where he works. The receptionist sees me. It's Iowa. She's like, oh my God, Tom Arnold. I said, I'm here to see Terry Williams. I'm going to tell him. No, don't tell him. Anyway, it goes amazing. It's scary for a minute. I'm 4 years old, but then I overcome, and people, by the way, are coming out, and they hear it, and I go out of there, and I run over to the state capitol, and you run to the governor's office. I'm like, you got to fucking stop this guy from adopting the kids. And it was Terry Branstad, who's now the ambassador to China. He's a friend of Trump's. He's a Republican. And he's like, holy shit, Tom, you're asking me to commit a federal offense. Get the fuck out of here. But he did. He did that for me. This is in 1991, 1990. And he did that for me. He was a Republican. He did stop me from adopting kids. And then I said, have we done enough? And I had my farmhands 6 blocks around this guy's house, kid high, put up posters with his face, name, and crimes toward every kid. This guy does this. This guy does this. And then 30 kids came forward from my old neighborhood. So I went back to my old neighborhood.
No.
Yeah. When I went back there originally to ask kids, they were embarrassed because they thought it was gay. They thought it was gay. This back in the day, that being raped by a man was gay, and so, you know, their sisters would talk to me from the old days. You know, it was, but then the 30 kids came forward, and that happened, and I felt good about it because I talked about it. You know, I talked about it on Oprah, and I went on these other shows, and they were like, "Don't say his name." I go, "I'm not going to say his name, but I'm going to call him Terry Williams." I said, right in the camera. So anyway, so that's why, you know, they came forward, and I felt good about it. And, you know, and I said, well, I put that to rest, you know. But then I got warned, you know, when your son turns 4, which he did about a year and a half ago, yeah, beware. I go, no, I've done it. I've confronted that. It's over. You know, the history. They said, but when my son turned 4, you know, when you could confront these things. But then when you see your child, you're like, holy shit, that's what I was like. Aww. Oh my God, I was perfect. And so that's what I did, is trauma therapy. You know, because I was taking benzos to sleep, and I was just taking benzos are the worst funky drug to get off. You know, I've had issues with each particular kind of drug.
Yeah. Was benzos the hardest?
But I couldn't get...
to get off.
No. I mean, I've dealt with... You know, I had a motorcycle wreck in 2008 with the opiates.
Painkillers.
I did alcohol and cocaine in 89. Painkillers.
'80s are the decade to do the coke.
Well, you know I haven't had a drink since 89. I could be addicted to anything. It's the bottom line. And I cannot take anything if I want to live. I want to be a father. But so I went into this trauma therapy. I highly recommend it. I still do it. I did it. Is today Wednesday?
Yes.
I did it this morning. I highly recommend it. And it's this is the best I felt. But you literally, as you know, go back to that room. I can smell the laundry in the backyard of the fucking dude's house. My thing is just get me out of that room instead of seeing the fucking wood in front of my face being jabbed in there. And it got me out of the room because I knew if you get into a room, if these fuckers can get us in a room, we know we got out of there. So let's take my – so that I don't react to stress from that kid in the room and fight my way out, which I've done. I react at least as a guy out on the porch
being
as
free.
A kid out on the porch because I know I got out of the porch and saw daylight. Yeah. So that memory – so. I don't, it probably doesn't make sense, but certainly.
It makes perfect sense.
You know, okay.
That's great. I mean, I'm glad we got to talk about addiction. This is our own personal.
Yeah, no, this is a comedy podcast.
No,
sorry.
It's awesome. It's 2019 and we're.
But anyway, it's hard to be sober if you don't do all the components. There's mental illness people have to deal with. You see people on the street. Just be, you know, just stopping drinking and using drugs is great. But, you know, at least for me to do all these things, and at least because, you know, being a father is. What it is all about, you know, for me, because it's certainly women are not.
Fathers,
so grateful.
You'll be back. You'll be back.
Yeah, no, I know. I am. This is what I meant to do. This is what, you know, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old are my audience. One 3-year-old and one 5-year-old are my audience.
Now, that's what does your gay brother Chris think about Mike Pence?
Let me tell you about my gay brother Chris. My gay brother Chris, who got married last summer, you know, my gay brother Chris. I tell you what, I always knew, you know, and we're from a small town, we're 7 kids, I always knew kids, you know, and it's the first time, and I'll tell you what, I just knew, and but even though I'm so liberal,
he
came to visit me on the set of McHale's Navy down in Mexico, and even though I'm the fucking most liberal guy, his boyfriend was with him, and his boyfriend's leg, they had shorts on it, his boyfriend's leg was on, came over on his hairy leg, and he didn't flinch. And I knew,
that's how you know, by the way, that is how people can figure it out.
But I got to tell you something.
I thought you were going to say his ball fell out of his short shorts.
This is like 20 years ago.
Onto the other leg.
And I saw that, and I still, my heart sank, because I was like, oh, fuck, man, he's going to get shit in my hometown, these fucking rednecks. And my heart sank, because then it was confirmed, and then
poor gay
like,
Chris
he's
with the neighbor with the N-word dog. Like, I don't want to grow up there and be gay. Well, I don't want to grow up there, period.
Well, so his boyfriend, so 10-inch Tony was his first real boyfriend. And he's a little black guy about this big. He had a huge dick. And so a really nice guy. And so
Did he tell you about his big dick?
Well, Chris did. My brother.
We're super close.
10-inch Tony. Oh, yeah, very close.
So he's like, probably like the dick.
My brother, we're also hilarious, by the way.
Right. Okay, got it.
So 10-inch Tony. Ted Stoney would not tell me because he's a really nice person.
Oh, he was keeping
it humble?
He's
very conservative.
He was keeping it humble. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, they're going back to tell my parents, my stepmother, my dad. And I'm like, oh, fuck. They better fucking come through with my brother. They better fucking. And I'll tell you what, because Tony was not only gay, but he was black. It was so much information.
Yeah.
They just accepted it.
Wow.
Like, uh-huh. It was a Mormon.
By the way, it's probably a good thing because my brother's a fucking psycho. Like, he's a gun carrying. Like, he's what. Anyway, so he worked for like Arthur Anderson. He worked in Juarez, Mexico. Like, he's worked for some Enron, like some suspicious company. But
is he a lawyer?
Well, no, he's an accountant.
Okay,
he's worked for the biggest Christian. Conservative Grand Canyon University.
Gay Chris works for Grand Canyon University.
Oh yes,
does
and
he
he's on
in?
Facebook with his whole gay.
Oh
he's
God,
rubbing
please,
it, fucking,
he's rubbing it in.
Oh my God,
it's like 10 inches was nothing. Let me
oh
tell
my,
you something,
oh, no.
Grand Canyon.
And, I'm like, do you ever feel they'll fire you? And he goes, let them fucking fire me. Like,
fuck yeah.
His boss makes $17 million a year. He gets it. He knows. The score, but he's also been a great source because they're John McCain's biggest donor. So when this, when the dossier goes down, John McCain, who I really, really respected,
me
and
too,
is close
too.
To Arnold, but he's been very helpful with the Trump stuff. So it helps to have connections like that, but my brother gets it.
But he hates Mike Pence. He has to, right?
Oh, of course he does. And all the other phony Christians. By the way, Grand Canyon isn't like the Jerry Falwell Jr. bullshit Liberty University. Jerry Falwell Jr. supports Trump because Jerry Falwell Jr. got blackmailed by Trump in 2016. It's been in the papers because he has a three-way going with a guy named Giancarlo, a pool boy. He had to pay $3 million.
Ugh, I love
you
that.
You saw that in the paper,
that's
right?
That's my favorite.
Me and Jerry Falwell Jr. went at it on Twitter a bunch, and I kept saying, I'm going to, Jerry, tell him about this because I had that information.
Tell him about
before.
Giancarlo?
Yes, and the same way with Billy Graham's son, Franklin. He got, they had to call 911 because he was getting choked out during his rough sex.
And by a guy?
Yes.
I love the
ambulance thing. And these guys are such assholes, unlimited, whatever Trump does, and they write stuff like poor people are no, I mean, it's so crazy. They're going to be all called out. That's a phony, Mark Burnett, phony Trump. Christian bullshit. It's not because I'm Jewish. I'd call out fucking Jews. And say, by the way, they hate Jews. And Trump takes it to Jerusalem to move the fucking. Trump hates Jews. Trump is a.
What does he think about Ivanka then? Ivanka's so deep in the Jewish
game. No,
she's
not. Ivanka's full of shit. She's a fucking idiot and a robot.
Yeah, tell us about the kids.
Okay,
yeah, let's hear about
every
the kids.
Day, Ivanka and I have a tape inside. She walks into his, in every business meeting into his office, says the same things, puts a stack of the same papers down on his desk. He says the same thing to her as she walks out. She's a fucking robot. She's an idiot. She takes as much Adderall as he does.
Oh.
That's who she is. There is nothing there.
I was feeling like Melania is a legitimate robot, though. I feel like she's been replaced.
She's
I don't know if she's in a room.
By the way, five languages she speaks. Have you ever? She doesn't even. She's an idiot.
English isn't one of them.
He's
I know
an
that.
Idiot. You know, she's friends with Sloan's wife. She's a fucking moron. She has no fucking sense of. She's a fucking idiot.
My husband, Donald, I do speak five languages.
Now, her family just became citizens because he's threatening her fucking family to deport her family.
What?
But she's a fucking moron.
Did she get beat up, though, in the
she's
elevator like Beyonce?
Big,
I mean,
she got
Jay-Z?
Beat up. Here's what happened. They went in 2007, 2000, after he got caught fucking all these. He cheated on his playmate girlfriend with a porn star. Like, he literally, if you see the history, he cheated on Karen McDougal with Stormy Daniels. Karen McDougal was interviewed like, I didn't realize he was cheating on me that weekend. So that's how big of a scumbag he is. Finally, she said, I'm getting a divorce. And he's like, no, Mark Burnett, that would be bad for my TV show. I'll tell you what. I will redo our what do you call it, the site to when you get married, you have a
prenup.
I'll do a post up. Let's go to my lawyer, what's his name, in New York, and I will go with you, and I'm a deal maker. I will rewrite it and turn it into a post up. That's a real deal. So they go to that Kasowitz's office in New York. That's the elevator. On the way out, she starts it. You know how you have one argument that always goes on? And she's like,
I did it.
He snapped on her. He fucking snaps because he does snap. That's who he is. And he fucking grabbed her by the neck. That's on there. The guy in the elevator operator sees it. And he sees it. And he grabs that clip. And this guy wants to be in the music business. Now, the lawyer he went to, she has an office in Beverly Hills. I went down to her office. I've spoken to her, and a couple other people have spoken to her. The reason that he came to her, she represents a lot of music people, a lot of people that own songs. He came out to her because she's not the kind of person you go to normally under these circumstances. He comes to her. She calls Harvey. She does a TMZ hotline. She's not proficient. She's never done this before. Harvey Levin, and I've spoken to him. Gets it.
Well, I
goes
mean, we
to her
saw
place.
Him in front of the gym.
Yes, that's true.
Was that
really happened. I had to fucking wait in front of his gym. That's real. And then in real life, what happened was that's real. And in real life, because I knew he smiled, in real life, Susan, when I left there, I got a call from the lawyer from TMZ. He said, I want to talk to you. And in real life, Harvey Levin, who was buddies with Trump, but when this shit went down with Helsinki and you see the country's in trouble, they're like, let's all hands on deck. Let's share our information about that tape. So, you know, that's real. Trump is you know, the country is in danger. That's a fact. And I understand that people don't want to watch it every day. I understand you got to live your lives. But there are a group of people that are paying attention to it. and he's got to go. And my feeling is he's going to resign. He's going to get upset. But he's eliminated the head of the Defense Department. He has no chief of staff. There's nobody manning the ship. There's a group of fucking morons with him right now. My show, I'm a crazy person, but there are journalists like Jane Mayer, David Korn,
David Korn,
you
that's
know,
your guy.
And, you know, wrote it, is a buddy of mine. There's people that genuinely are on the cusp. And I did have a person go to Russia and speak to the hookers. You know, so even though I'm a goofball, there's some serious stuff. And I'm in a small group of people that are actively working on this stuff. And I have no people for the Mueller stuff. And it seems like I'm crazy on Twitter. But but I'm telling you.
I thought the show shows that you're very good.
Yeah. And it seems like I just took a picture with Michael Cohen, but if you see the episode, once he pled guilty, I got to release some of the text messages.
Yeah.
We were communicating the whole fucking time. So
tell us about Nicole Wallace. Was she?
Oh,
like
I gotta worship her. Let's stop right here. Nicole Wallace. But I live for Nicole Wallace, and she's
her hair wasn't too puffy and coarse.
Let me tell you
something
about her. In all this nonsense with the Trump stuff, you could count on her, because men are the worst. We have let everybody down, and we always will, because we're always like, well, in college, you know, I stuck my dick in a hot dog bun, so, you know, I really can't judge Trump. You know, that's a man. They're mad. They'll always make a deal. Nicole Ross was like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is insane what's going on.
Yeah.
You are acting like a child. That's the president. He's acting like, well, she keeps a level. When she's not on the air, I start getting nervous. She's also a mother of a 7-year-old boy, so I relate, like, going on her show, yeah, I act insane on her show. I'm going on her show. Plus, I got fucking Michael Cohen, like, bugging the shit out of me.
Yeah, and he's crazy.
What I can say and can't say, but I worship her. Poppy Harlow. So then I do Nicole Wallace. Then I'm going to CNN. There's no pre-interview. I don't even know why I'm going to CNN. I look at this thing. right before I get CNN, they're like, we aren't letting your cameras in here. And I say to the producer, okay, something's up. And I asked them, I said, my buddy, who was from the Justice Department, said, "When you get CNN, ask for so and so because they're First Amendment person." So, you know, I had somebody from the Justice Department telling me what to say. I got Michael Cohen watching every fucking word, and I got what I want to say in my cameras, and because I know afterwards we're going to cut this together, and I'm going to have some fun with it. And then also they're like, "Your cameras can't come in." I go, "Okay, they're going to try something," and you know, it's also, so we get there, there's no pre-interview. They haven't asked me what I'm going to talk about. They have no idea. I don't know. Poppy Harlow isn't even the regular host there.
No.
And so I get there and I say to the producer, they're just really nervous. They're like, okay, let's get you out there. I go, what's this show? What kind of show is this? What do you usually do? And they go, well, you know, it's a new show. They were just, something is up. And they go, I go, who do you have on here? Do you ever have like people like Jane Mayer? And they go, I don't know who that is. I go, oh, shit. I go, oh, my gosh. She's got to get you out there. I get out there. I look over. She has a checklist, yes or no question. Like, they're going to grill me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is not going to go well.
That was the genius part of the thing, though.
And I sat there thinking, she's going to let me sit here the whole time. It was so funny. And I go, this is going to be the most awesome thing ever. People are like, he has lost his mind.
So you did it on purpose.
Well, yes, of course.
What else can
I
do?
Because I went on Lawrence O'Donnell after that. And if you watch that one, that was just
Yeah, Lawrence O'Donnell, he will come for you, honey. Yeah.
He was wonderful.
He
was wonderful, because on the way to Lawrence O'Donnell, I'm texting back and forth with Michael Cohen. I'm like, fuck. He's like, I go, hey, fuck you. I'm going to have fun. Don't watch Lawrence O'Donnell. You can see on the show. And then I just had fun with Lawrence O'Donnell. They're completely different. And they're all consecutive. So people are like, he is on drugs. He's lost his mind. Then watch Lawrence O'Donnell. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. So
what is, if in your Gable news world,
I was crazy.
Are you more of a Anderson Cooper or are you more of a Rachel Maddow like type? Like who do you prefer in your gaze in Cable
News? I like Rachel because, you know, it my gay thing. What?
Just in gay, who do you prefer in the gay cable news world? Anderson Cooper or Rachel Maddow?
Rachel Maddow's gets a lot of good information. She
do
has
you
a
watch,
better show
what
for
do you
me.
Watch?
Well, Anderson Cooper has to be more.
Yeah.
You know, I think she does more interesting things. She's like, here's the deal.
You could have gotten Don Lemon there too. He's gay.
I do like Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he has to.
Is Don Lemon gay? Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Don Lemon was at the Mark Burnett fight.
Yeah,
he's a bulky fucking dude too. He's got big like pecs because we were hugging a little bit. And he filmed me like he's bigger than I thought he was.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is interesting. I thought him has a slight younger.
Where do you
he seemed bigger. You know.
Remember when you grabbed Arnold Schwarzenegger's tits?
Always,
that was
always
the best.
Have a million times.
The best.
But Arnold said that. He's like, Tom, he's all good. We're going to do a comedy bit. You pretend you're in a dumpster. Just take it easy. So I'm like, okay, he fucking wants me to fucking sit out here like an idiot. So the whole time I'm letting him do his spiel. And I'm like, yeah, fuck Trump, because he wants me to be polite. And I grab his tits, according to grab his tits.
Yeah, no, his nipples were hard.
Oh, yeah, of course
they were
hard.
His tits are huge.
Let me tell you something. That guy had major open heart surgery not long before that.
Wow.
That dude is fucking 71, 72 years old. That fucker gets up every day at 4:30 and fucking works out and seizes a day. He goes, how could I make this world better? He acts like every day he's running for president. Hmm. He goes out. We gave away 10,000 toys for Christmas. We do it every year. The turkeys. And then he goes the rest of the day to some fire station that burned down. This fucking dude is so inspirational. And he's not bullshit. And he does work out like that. And he had this major thing. You know,
that's
I do
crazy.
Watch out for him. I do have his fucking back because I will kick people's asses for him because I am tougher than him. From day one, Jim Cameron cast me. Jim Cameron said he cast me because when I first met him and we first read together, he walked away and Jim Cameron said, I said, oh, I could take him. But I worship this fucking dude, and I do have his back.
When you told a story on Howard of the fucking, of the animals, the parties.
Oh, my God, that's all fact. That's all fact. This year, there was a, what was it? The animal with a hard cord, with the long nose, the hard back.
A rhinoceros?
No,
an armadillo.
The armadillo. Uh-huh. And they just are fucking, but the fucking Bengal tiger in there, and the fucking friends, and the rope. And I just, honest to God, the shit that goes down in that fucking place.
Now, tell us what I want to know. Where do you watch cable news? Do you look at Washington Post? Where do you get your news? Where do you get all your?
I read a lot. I do read Washington Post and the New York Times, and I do watch cable news. I am willing to go on TV and go against the most right-wing person because it's hilarious. Ben Shapiro, I have these young, especially these young right-wing guys. What happens is we'll have these Twitter fights, and then I'll go on their show, and they're the sweetest little people.
It's
impossible to fucking hate them.
We've tried to get conservatives to come on because I'm dying to get in a fight.
Yes.
Dying.
Yes.
But then some people will try and they'll call in, and then they just can't do it. Talk to someone, you're a human being.
Yeah. I sit there too. You know, and also the conservative women are so much smarter that when they have these panels. I mean, there's two conservative little guys, and you really can't. Plus, I just power. When I went to this Ben Shapiro's election special, he's this conservative.
Yeah.
And it goes like this right forward. I can see he's loaded up to hit me about, do you always believe women? And right before he goes on, I go, hey, I'm going to tell my Me Too story about being raped as a kid. I know we're on live. it was insane. You watch that. And I go, and I just get into a 6-minute story. Don't let him talk. And then he sailed it. And at the end, I went, I thought that went well. And you can see us laughing because he doesn't know I'm big Tom Hart, crazy stuff.
Right.
What can you do? Plus, I knew that at Fox News, they had the Fox Sports where I worked, same directors. So I say to him on the way of the director, hey, I'm going to watch what. But they're, you know, on the one hand, I don't like that he puts up a picture of, he's against abortion from creation. He puts up a picture like this kid knows what a woman's body has any fucking clue.
Exactly.
You know, and as a person that's had 23 in vitros and as a person that grew up on a farm, men know nothing. This kid knows nothing. And he's the expert. Not even the conservative women would do that. Put a picture of a fucking inside of a woman's. But he has those. So that is offensive. But when you sit next to these little guys, they got to do their little things. And I do want to, I say, you got to say something about Trump, fucker.
Who do you want to see to be like the Democratic nominee in 2020?
You know what? It's even talk about it now, but each one of these people, when I see Elizabeth Warren go out to Iowa, people are so excited for her. I'm so happy. There's a lot of people that look like Elizabeth Warren that are so fucking pissed off. A lot of women that look like her, that are her age or younger, that you don't hear about. You don't see them on TV. But I'll tell you what, when I walk around an airport, I'll tell you what, it's women. And it's middle-aged women that are like, you fucking right. I'm pissed off. They're not TV friendly, maybe, like me. But I'll tell you what, they are pissed off and they've had it. And
we
so
love Elizabeth
it's
Warren.
Good that she's out there. People are like, well, she said that thing about being American.
Fuck that.
Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck you. But, you know, the people like that Beto, who knows what?
Yeah.
You know, even Michael Avenatti saying, first of all, Michael Avenatti, let me say about him. No woman would ever go, I'm thinking about running for political office for the first time. Okay, it has to be president. Like, no woman would do that. They go, actually, I'm going to run for school board. Yeah. See how that goes. And then only a fucking council. Asshole man like Donald Trump or Michael Avenatti. Yeah. You know, or Tom Arnold, I would never do it. But where we go, oh, it's got to be the biggest job ever. But it's a good thing he ran. It's a good thing he put his shit out there because he took a lot of bullets. He fucking battled with some people. So now Elizabeth Warren's going to take. But her thing is she doesn't care. Like, fuck them. Fuck them. And everybody's like, and that's what I do. I don't care what people say about me ever. So fuck them. The person that doesn't care. Like, you're like, well, what about, no, you don't care. You just keep going.
Yeah, who cares?
Whoever,
exactly.
You know, whoever is, and these pundits care. We think it's important because we watch these TV shows where there's four people talking about, well, what if, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whoever has it murdered someone, or even if they have, they're going to win.
Yeah.
You know.
Can't go around apologizing. Like, sorry, I tried to get a scholarship.
Exactly.
Okay, before you go, have you met Obama? This is important to us.
I have not met Obama. I have not. I'm,
okay, well, thanks for stopping by.
I met everybody.
We love him so much,
I do too.
Obviously.
I do too.
Tell our 14 listeners where you want them to troll you on Twitter.
I know. I'm at Tom Arnold.
And watch the Viceland show, the Hunt for the Trump Tapes.
You guys are amazing together. You have an amazing show.
Oh, thanks.
This is the best podcast that I've been on, for real. You guys have good chemistry.
Oh, no, thank you
so much.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Love you, Tom.
Love you guys. Thanks, thank
Tom.
You for having me on.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Oh,
yeah. You guys are
Tom.
Great.
Thanks,
guys.
Tom.
So that's it for this special interview episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
Not only is Tom Arnold our bro for life now, but you didn't have to find a So There's That meow meow.
My So There's That was Tom Arnold.
That's right.
He was a gentleman among rapists.
He sure was. But you can also make up for not having to do a So There's That by promoting our Patreon.
Yeah. Go to, if you are not a member of our Patreon, please go to patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. And like we said before, it's just $1 a week and you get an extra hour a week of a podcast where we don't talk about politics, where we talk about everything, where we get like real kooky.
Kooky, kooky, kooky.
Real kooky.
And we have a live show coming up in New Orleans. It's less than a week away. It's not too late to plan a last minute trip, you guys. The lawyer who took us to immigration skew, Greg Garino, he's coming from Houston.
Amazing.
He's making the trip from Houston. He's going to do Gay Guys and Their Feelings. And coming from Houston is easily drivable. Here's who can drive. People from Texas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Arkansas. Okay.
Wow.
You can drive that shit. Get in your car. Get on Google Maps and just do it. Okay. It's my birthday and we're going to turn the fuck up.
Yeah. I mean, it's New Orleans.
Yes.
Like, I mean, come on.
Yes.
Go to julieandbrandy.com for tickets and all of the information.
As always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly it's been gay and it's been dumb.
And Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold.
How'd you do? I see you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right. We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat world. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Night.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.